Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, powered each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. Don't start your day without Harvest Ridge. And if you're kind of getting the droopy drumpies right now, get your second cup. It will not hurt you to have two or more cups of Harvest Ridge Coffee a day. You'll be perky and bright, just like me and just like my guest, Kate Kimber from the United Way of Adams County. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You had your big kickoff event.
Yes, we did.
And it was announced that the Dolly Parton Imagination Library is one of the new partners with United Way. Tell us a little bit about what this does. I'm so excited about this because having a book in your home to read is critical for kids because, you know, it's okay to go to the library. It's okay to bring home books, but then you got to take them back. And this way, you'll always have a book in your house.
Exactly. So we are super excited to partner with Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. It is a free book gifting service started by Dolly Parton,
who's a multimillionaire and has plenty of money and wants to give back.
Exactly. And the reason she started it is really cool as well. She started it because her father was illiterate and she wanted to make sure that kids didn't grow up that same way. So from children from ages birth to five, they can receive a free book in the mail anywhere in Adams County every month. And they're all age-appropriate books as well. They have people behind the scenes who pick out the specific books for the children each month. So that way you know that your one-year-old's not getting something that is meant for the five-year-old.
It's just not a random book that's being sent to you. It is catered and curated for the exact age of the children in your home. So the one-year-old's going to get a book. Obviously, you have to read it to them.
Yes.
It'll have a lot of pictures and probably a lot of tactile, little fuzzy caterpillars and stuff like that. The three-year-old's going to get a book. The five-year-old's going to get a book.
Yes, exactly.
And then it goes up to age five, right?
Yes.
And so this will help you build a library in your home that will carry on and continue on and may also get the five-year-old to want to read to the one-year-old.
Yeah, and I mean, kids love mail. Kids love getting something in the mail. And so it kind of comes off as a gift to them. It's something they seem excited about. And it gets children excited about reading. And we've heard from a lot of people, and we've seen the research, we've seen the feedback about how important early literature is. And it's something we're so excited to bring to Adams County and to all the children here and all the families here as well.
Well, let's talk about how we get involved, because, again, the book will come to your home, but they don't know who you are, where you are, and how old your kids are. So there's going to have to be some major league sign-up activity. So please let me know how this is going to work, please.
Yes, it is super easy, actually. If you go to our website and you click on the Dolly Parton Imagination Library link, it'll take you straight to the registration page. And you enter your information, your child's information, your address, phone number, email. And then we get the information and we send it over to them and it gets approved. There is a little bit of a backlog on it, so they pre-order the books the month prior. So if you sign up right now, I believe you'd get it in October, just because of the way that the months lay out with all of that. But it's super easy. It's a great program. The first book is actually The Little Engine That Could.
I love it. I love it. So all you have to do is go to the United Way of Adams County website. If you live in Adams County, if you have an Adams County postal address, this will be delivered to your home, or if you use a post office box, It will be delivered to your post office box. It's coming through the mail. No discrimination. Everybody can get it. There's no guidelines. There's no income guidelines. There's no whatever. You just sign up each of the children in your home, and every month, the mailman brings them a brand new free book that you can read to them or they can help read to themselves. And then you put that on the shelf and it's yours forever to keep as you start your own home family library. You know, Dolly Parton, I mean, you have to say there's a woman who has used her wealth now to really make a sea change difference.
Oh, yeah.
And this is all over the United States. So this is not just the United Way of Adams County. So again, it may take a couple of months for this to get rolling, but the sooner you sign up on the United Way of Adams County website, the sooner you will get your book. Because there'll probably be a 6 to 8 week lag, but
yes.
Don't be concerned about that. Just get signed up as soon as possible today.
Yeah, I'd recommend signing up today. You'll get your October book. It's a great program. We're so excited to bring it to Adams County. Early literature is so important, and it's something that we've been working on kind of behind the scenes for a while, and we were super excited to kick it off and get it rolling, especially with the start of the new school year.
It is so important. What are some of the other things that the United Way is focusing on this year? I know you're about to start your fundraising campaign, and it's taking a little bit different look this year. There's no secret. You haven't been as successful as far as monetarily in years past. So the United Way campaign is going to look a little bit different this year. You're obviously trying to reach out to as many people as possible to get them to know the United Way story. What are some of the ways you're going to be doing that?
Yeah, so we're trying to do workplace presentations. So if there's any organizations in the area, we would love to connect with you. I think that's important, too, because our campaign theme this year is Leading the Way. And it's not necessarily about how we as the United Way lead the way. It's about how our donors, our volunteers, the businesses that we work with, all of those people lead the way in our community. It's not about us, hey, United Way, we're leading the way. It's about how we as people in the community who are concerned about the well-being of our community are all leading the way together. And so we're trying to work with a bunch of local businesses to raise that money, and our individual donors as well. We have so many great supporters, and it's really important to us this year also to let them know that we appreciate them, the recognition. I've written so many handwritten letters this year.
It's important. You know, it's flipping over a little bit, and I think the United Way is trying to capture that this is a change. Yes, you still need the ADMs, the NAPIs, the Blessing Hospitals to have an employee giving drive, but so many people now work in extremely small businesses, or they're working three jobs from their home. They are their own employer. How difficult is it to reach those people? Because how do you even find out who those people are?
Yeah, it's difficult to reach those people. Luckily, we're trying to build up our social media presence as well, so they see it there. We send out a monthly newsletter that they can subscribe to from our website, and we're really just trying to get more involved in the community. I think this year, our main goal isn't a numerical goal. Our goal is that awareness and that advocacy from our supporters necessarily. We want people, if you're giving money to the United Way, we want you to know what the United Way does. We want you to understand that, you know, the United Way isn't just a money funnel. We are supporting these partner programs, but we also have our own services. And our support for the partner programs is also something that we take very seriously, and we want to continue that support as well, because our partners have so many insanely great services throughout the community. So we kind of want people to know that we're the pillar that we're trying to stay with our partner services. And we're also trying to create our own services and our own programs, like the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, the Helpline, Good News of Christmas, which is coming up.
Well, this is the thing that's so great. I mean, you know, somebody has to be in charge, and that chosen cared partner that Dolly Parton chose is the United Way. So the Dolly Parton Imagination Library is coming to every child in Adams County under the age of five and under, because of the United Way. So, you know, we're trying to raise awareness for the United Way. Like you said, you're not making a numeric goal, but you've got to get more people to know what you do and that they can contribute and that they can be an important part of that. So if folks want to learn more, there's probably videos on your website. There's probably a place where I can, you know, press and give on your website. So drive me there now, and then we'll call it a day until next week, and I can't wait to get kids signed up for the Dolly Parton Imagination Library.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Yeah, definitely. So if you go to our website, you can give on our website. There's ways to get involved. So you can give, advocate, and volunteer. And then we have our video on YouTube. So if you look up the United Way of Adams County, you'll see our 2024 campaign video. And it kind of shows you more about what we do in-house. But honestly, if you're interested in learning more about the United Way, or if you want a presentation at your organization about the United Way, just send us an email, and we would love to come out. I mean, that's what we do, is we're trying to raise awareness, and we're trying to unite our community.
Okay. If you know anyone with children, 5 and under, direct them to go to the United Way of Adams County website and sign up for free books delivered every month through the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. It's just one of the many, many, many good things the United Way does. Thank you so much, Kate Kimber.
Thank you.
And we'll be back and we'll talk to the superintendent of the Quincy Public School District, and that is Dr. Todd Pettit. And the president of the school board is also slated to be here, Shelley Arnn. So we're going to hear from the two top guns about what's happening in the Quincy Public Schools. Stay tuned. It's 9:29. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Usually, we get some underling, you know, an important person in the Quincy Public Schools, but, you know, some subservient, non-highly paid administrator like Dr. Todd Pettit. But he is here today along with his boss, who gets no money for doing her job. Now, how does that work? Shelley Arnn, you get nothing for being the president of the Quincy Public Schools.
I was going to say we even it out between his salary and mine. Subservient.
Well, and thank you very much for my Dutch letter.
You're welcome.
It is it is appropriately shaped like an S. All Dutch letters are shaped like an S. But this is, my married name is Schunnekees, or as they say in this country, Schunnekaza.
Yes.
Which means beautiful cheese.
As you are.
As I am the most beautiful of all cheeses. Okay, we're going to get right to
Hopefully you enjoy cheese.
I do enjoy cheese. You know, it's so interesting. I've known Todd Pettit since he was a little bitty kid. So
yes,
it's
she
really
has.
Weird that you are now the superintendent of schools. But you've been at it for a couple of years now. It seems to be going very well. You seem to have earned the respect of many members of our community. Let's talk about what you've been able to accomplish and some things that are still on your I'm going to get it done list, but it was my five or, you know, I mean, you can't do everything all at once. And you were left with a pretty good ship to be in charge of anyway. It wasn't a sinking boat. So what are some of the major accomplishments of your first couple of years as superintendent, and what do you hope to accomplish even more?
Well, looking back, you know, that list is ever changing. Right.
So some things you probably thought were important 5 years ago, yes. You'd say that maybe isn't even on the list anymore.
Absolutely. And when I look at, when I think of, you know, Todd's top five, that typically doesn't change. You know, it's about school safety and our learning environment in the classroom and, you know, eliminating barriers for our students that they can come to school and that we were able to get them to school.
Homelessness continues to be a problem.
Exactly. And, you know, just being present and connected. And I think that was, you know, top priority. And I still continue to strive to be as present as possible. And some days I feel like I've achieved that. Other days, you know, I don't. But, you know, do my best, you know, in that regard. I think when I first came on, we were looking at, you know, climate and culture in our buildings and especially at the elementary level and some of the initiatives that some of your listeners may remember in terms of Lighthouse Schools and Leader in Me and those types of you know, initiatives, PBIS, positive behavior interventions and supports. And we still have PBIS as a grounding, as a foundation, but we were able to, along with the Tracy Family Foundation Institute, the Ron Clark Academy house system model, and that's been a journey over the last 2 years as we've incorporated that and are continuing to do so. Even today, with today our Baldwin Elementary students this week will be sorted into their houses, and it's really exciting to see that, to see those smaller communities of kids coming together in their grade level bands, also across the, you know, across the grade levels.
Kindergartens will have fifth graders to look up to.
Correct.
And
correct.
Fourth graders will be leaders for the second graders, and they'll all be mm-hmm. together learning mm-hmm. at their own pace. You know, it's so interesting, having come from a Catholic private school where everything was basically moral values based. First, we had the Lighthouse Leadership School, the Covey, you know, instead of the Ten Commandments, which we're not allowed to talk about anymore, we have the seven practical things. And now instead of having, you know, like a parochial school, we have the house. You know, you can call it whatever you want, but bottom line is you're trying to instill some kind of moral compass in these kids.
Correct.
You don't have to call it God, but something's got to happen to teach kids that we don't hit, we don't fight, we don't bite, and we don't lie, and we don't cheat, and we don't steal. you can teach them arithmetic, and we hope you do, but they're going to have to go out in society. And again, that moral compass, how hard is it as a public school administrator to put a moral compass onto things?
You know, our doors are open to everyone as a public school. And, you know, we take kids where they are. That's academically, that's socially, meeting their every needs. And there's a lot on our teachers and staff today in public education. It's more than just teaching the academics, but the academics must be foundational. But as you said, I think that, you know, moral compass, the golden rule, those things that, you know, we all grew up with, whether or not you were, you know, part of a public setting or a parochial setting, that foundation of, you know, do unto others mentality is vastly important. And I think, you know, we talk about at least our elementaries with this house system. Today I told my leadership team, we meet once a month, and just said, you know, my one word, if I had to describe it, was really connectedness. And that's across the board with students, staff, but also parents. So I'm excited this afternoon to go out to Baldwin, and parents are invited to their house sorting, and, you know, which house will claim you. So that'll be exciting to see and witness that.
Shelley Arnes is the president of the Quincy Public School Board. You come from a teaching background, and now you are administering through Todd. I mean, obviously, you hire the superintendent and give him the day-to-day operations. You're not that involved on day-to-day, but you set policies. What do you think about what I just said about there has to be some kind of moral compass, no matter what you call it, what you try to disguise it as?
Mm-hmm.
I know several atheists, and they're not murderers and rapists. I mean, right. They have a moral compass. So, they don't attribute it because they're afraid they're going to go to hell.
Right.
But they're doing the right thing because somebody in their life said, this is the right thing to do.
Right.
Is that the role of the Quincy public school system or any public school system?
Well, I think that's always something that you have to have. You have to have order, and you have to have unity in our community, right? Like, I think that's always something that schools have striven to provide a safe place for learning and teaching. And I know you guys have talked about the RCA, and I remember, I've been in, you know, the teaching world long enough to remember the idea of a school within a school, which was the same thing, where you pared down and had cross-grade level families of kids that help support one another and encourage, you know, that kind of growth and behavior that's expected of all students. So, you know, and, you know, Todd did say, you know, there's a lot on the plate of the Quincy public schools, on public schools in general, not just Quincy, it's everywhere. And I think the more that we work together in partnership with our families and our community members and leaders, I think the better for all of us. And I think that's just how you always have to approach anything, is that we're going to work together as a team to make this happen for your kids. We're not punishing to punish. We're punishing to change behavior, or we're using discipline to change behavior.
We're modifying behavior rather than punishing.
Yeah.
And some kids, you know, it's hard. They need their behavior modified. And what's really hard, they don't have that same role model at home. And that's the problem. The public school has to be there for everyone. And so that teacher opens up the classroom door and 20, 22 kids are inside there. And some of them come from homes where they're not allowed to talk back to elders, where they're to sit quietly, where they're to pay attention. And others, it's a free-for-all. And maybe the 7-year-old is actually really running the house because, to tell you the truth, parents are completely dysfunctional. And yet they come to the door of the Quincy Public School, and you have to teach both of those children how to read, write, and relate to everybody else. And that is an incredibly hard job.
Yeah. And you know, Mary, we often think, when we think school, we think teacher, you know, administrator, principal. But there's so much more, as you're well aware.
The lunch ladies were
ladies, the bus drivers, the crossing guards. And I, you know, I refer to them as our education professionals. You know, we have our certified educators, but then we have non-certified staff of about 650 folks that, you know, maintain that daily operation. And when you've got, you know, crossing guards, that's the first point of contact for a lot of students in the morning.
And the bus drivers.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, if they're having a bad day, the bus driver's the first one to see it.
That's right.
Yeah, they need a radio ahead.
And, you know, a lot of kids come from an area where maybe they're not getting the nutrition, so that lunch lady is giving them the breakfast and lunch that they need, and maybe taking a snack down to the classroom in the midday. a lot of the things about the public school were things that we used to traditionally think your family did. I mean, whoever thought we'd have washers and dryers at school because some kids don't have the hygiene available there? Whoever thought we would have, you know, interventionists that would have to deal with people who's, you know, my husband's a bus driver. I've made that very public. You know, I'm biased, obviously. But, you know, when a little kid goes, oh, mom's out of jail, and they're so excited to get off the bus because mom is home for the first time in 3 weeks because she's been in jail. I mean, that is a heart-wrenching experience. In the one hand, you're happy for the child because they're being reunited with their parent. On the other hand, you realize for the last so many days, they haven't had that love of their parent. Mm-hmm. And they're suffering from their parents' bad choices and bad behaviors. And so you have to teach them to make better choices and better behaviors. Mm-hmm. And you're almost expecting sometimes 8-year-olds to be more responsible than 38-year-olds.
You know, and yeah. Dr. Pettit experienced that, I think, when he went on his spring tour and spoke with a lot of community organizations and groups and focused on our students. And who are our students? I think a lot of people in Quincy don't realize the depth and breadth of that ideal of what is a Quincy Public School student, because they come from all backgrounds, all economic, all social, all ethnicities, all just across the gamut. That's what we have coming to our door every day. And I think that was met with some surprise at those community groups, because I think they feel like Quincy is kind of a one-note community, but in fact, we're not.
Oh, no. Special education or individual education plans are very dominant in the Quincy Public School District, which means that some educator has identified that this child cannot just be put in the square, you know, cannot just be fit in this peg.
Yeah.
Their edges are going to have to be modified a little bit. And I know a friend of mine, they don't go to the Quincy Public Schools, but their son is has Down syndrome. Mm. His life will be very much determined, the success of his life will be very much determined what kind of skill level he can rise to by the time he is out of the public school system, because eventually you let them go. You don't keep them forever.
Right.
And
right.
Some of them
23.
Some of them drop out early.
Yeah.
And some of them stay for as long as they can, and then you still hate to see them go because you don't really know what's going to happen to them. We've got to take a break for the farm markets. When we come back, our conversation with Dr. Todd Pettit and Shelley Arnes continues. These are the two people who basically run the Quincy Public Schools. I mean, she has a board that helps her. I'm not blaming you for anything, Shelley. Well, I'll come to that later. Shelley was smart enough to bring me food, so I'm not going to put anything on the board. But the Dr. Pettit didn't bring me any food, so he's got a lot of questions to answer after this.
Note for the next time.
See, I told you should have let the air out of my bicycle tires, but you had your chance, but you didn't listen to me. We'll be back. We'll head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's happening up there. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Shelley Arnes, the president of the Quincy School Board, and Dr. Todd Pettit, the superintendent of schools, are here. And during the break, we were talking about mentoring. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I think, although maybe the worst thing that could have happened to public education was COVID, maybe the best thing that ever happened to the prestige of school teachers was COVID. Because suddenly parents realized their little brats, I mean, they're lovely angels, often didn't do their homework, didn't want to read their book, didn't want to do this, didn't want to do that. And mom and dad found out discipline takes an inordinate amount of time away from teaching if you've got 22 recalcitrant students.
Yeah.
This is where the fun of a mentor comes in, because some kids need a little extra help. They need help learning to read. They need help with their math skills. Maybe they just need an emotional support to sit and read a book with and talk about how the fact that their doggie died. And I've been a mentor for really decades now. I don't want to admit that. But yeah, it's been about, yeah, it's been a long time. It's 25 years, I think.
I'm looking at your award on April 30th, 2010.
Yeah.
Right here in front of me.
I mean, you know, that was 5 years. So yeah, I've been around for a while. So.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I will tell you, this is the payback you get. So I'm going to give my little ad for mentors here now. If you have half an hour to give or an hour to give every week, and you can find, they'll pair you with a child that really needs you. I took 4 kids in the Quincy Public School from first grade all the way through high school graduation. And you never know really what that meant. I mean, you hope it meant something, but you never really know. And then I was at the Arts Center one time at an opening for young artists. And my first girl was there. And so she came over and started talking to me. And her friends were like, why are you talking to this old chick? Let's go. I want to look at her. So we talked a little bit. And then I'm like, well, she needed to get back to her friends. It was so great seeing you. So great seeing you. So I went around the corner. Now, she didn't know that I just went around the corner and stopped and was looking at a piece of art right there. So I was still within earshot. And her friends were like, who is that? Like, why are you talking to that old lady? Who is that? And she said, oh, that's Miss Griffith. She taught me to read.
Aww.
I started to cry. I really did. It was like, wow, that's what she thinks of me, you know? And obviously her school teacher taught her to read. But, you know, I helped her in that. And we have such a need. There again, the public schools are supported by our tax dollars, but that cannot pay for everything. So, Todd Pettit, tell me about who can be a mentor and how we can get on board.
So thank you for that testimonial, because I was not aware that you took four kids from pre-K through...
Not pre-K, just first
okay,
grade.
Okay, all right,
just
get it right.
Grade.
Get it right, Todd.
I'm not doing those little ones.
Through first grade through 12th grade.
And I really had trouble once they got to fourth grade because I could no longer really help them with any of their subject matter, but I was still their emotional support.
But
math ended in fourth grade, I'm going to tell you that right now.
That journey, you know, for the story that you just told is amazing. For you as the mentor, but also for the child. And it goes back to that connectedness. So this year we celebrate our 30th year of our mentor program, which is truly a milestone. And our goal is that we will bring on 30 new mentors during this school year. We've had about 20 applications. So any of the listeners out there that are teetering, thinking about it, please reach out, call the central office. Tracy Bew is our coordinator for mentorship. We'd love to get you on board because we have about 30 kids on a waiting list that we are unable to serve. And just that connection, it's not about teaching an academic subject, but just like you said, Mary, it's really about that connection and building a relationship. It's that, you know, that third party individual that's coming in that the student doesn't see, you know, on a daily basis, and just makes a difference.
You can make it as big or as little as you want. You can
absolutely
just be in the classroom, just be there, you know, have no contact with them outside of the classroom, or you can, like I eventually grew to be friends with the whole family. I would take them horseback riding. I'd take them to the theater. You know, we did all kinds of fun stuff together. We did pottery. I'll never forget the time we planted the butterfly bush. And then we had it in the ground and we were standing there. And about 30 seconds later, she goes, when are all the butterflies coming? I'm like, oh, that's not quite how it works. The other thing is there will be moments of despair when you are a mentor. Because one day, one of my little ones said, Miss Griffith, how do you spell gray? And I said, well, now this is interesting because there's two ways to spell gray. I said, well, you can spell it G-R-E-Y or you can spell it G-R-A-Y. You can just decide which one you want. So I thought, wonder what she wants to, because she was writing, you know, something. So here's what she wrote. I'm so glad I taught her to read. Miss Griffith says her hair is red. Her hair is gray.
The candidness
of
children.
Out of the mouths of babes.
So
that's right. Like my first grader last week who said I look like The Rock.
Right.
Kind of a compliment.
That's right. I showed him a picture of The Rock.
I was going to say, I wouldn't put you quite in that buff state, Todd Pettit.
Well, no. He said, you know, your teeth are white and you're kind of tan.
And
you
don't have
much
have
hair. But you're not built. I'm like, you're correct, sir. Not like The Rock.
They can discern.
That's right.
They can discern. So we do need mentors. So please call the Quincy Public Schools. You can work with the age group that best suits you. Some people don't like little kids. They want a high schooler. You know, me, I mean, if anybody wants help on their, you know, astrophysics, they're not going to be paired with me. In fact, in fourth grade one time, I was so excited because, you know, the teacher called one of my little ones up. It was in fourth grade. I was so excited, and the poor kid went up and put the answer, and I went, oh, darn it, she got it wrong. And no, Miss Griffith had it wrong. That's what I say. I can't. Now I just stay in the second grade. That's where I'm comfortable.
Right.
I can do second grade math, and that's where I'm comfortable. But there's just so many opportunities, so do that. For people out there listening, because, like, I've never had kids, and I was kind of shocked because I go to the school board meetings, and you guys passed a budget or will soon pass a budget. And when you take the lunch ladies, the bus drivers, the guys that mow the grass, the coaches, the teachers, the administrators, the, you know, the electricians, it's $16,600 per student to educate a child. Now, I realize not all that is classroom instruction, but that's to keep our public school system open. Every child is an investment of $16,600 a year by the taxpayers of the Quincy Public School District. So I'll ask Dr. Pettit first, what are the taxpayers getting for that kind of money?
Well, they're getting a solid public school system that is able to, you know, employ our teachers who, you know, are certified or experts in their area. They are getting support staff like we've talked about, because I think, as Shelley mentioned, that's something that when I, you know, present to our community, it's eye-opening that the needs that we have within our schools, you know, all of those positions and cost money. And so when we look at our education fund that pays salaries, and we have transportation fund and our operations and maintenance fund, you know, it's keeping schools going. We may have
be safe.
We may have five new schools. I don't call them new anymore because they're not. But you know, it's continued maintenance, and it's having those folks, you know, that are on staff who are experts in HVAC. You know, we're you know, this hot weather, we're addressing those things. Ryan Clare and his team do a great job. So it's all of those things that encompass our school corporation, and that's a term that I learned when I was a teacher in Indiana, because in Indianapolis, their schools are not called districts, they're school corporations. But when you think about that, we truly are.
You're a business.
Know, we truly are a business.
But you're not
business.
There to make profit, but you, yeah.
We're a,
that's
business, we're a business of educating students, and that means so many multiple things, along with ensuring that our kids are learning, and they're learning, you know, math and reading and science and all of the core subjects, but also meeting the other needs that allow them to learn.
Okay, I'm going to ask the same question to our school board president, Shelley Arns. What am I getting? What is the taxpayer of the Quincy Public School District? And probably you can extrapolate that really for everybody that pays public school taxes. What are we getting for that $16,600?
Well, I think it's really important to remember that the students that are graduating from Quincy Public Schools are going to be part of our community. Some of them will choose to go other places. Some will choose to stay here. And so I think that's why it's so important that we invest in public schools in general across our country, is because that is the end goal for the majority, probably I would say a good number of our students is graduating high school. Some we're seeing a resurgence in service-oriented type industry. Jobs.
Like plumbers.
Plumbers, welders,
HVAC,
mechanical.
Big paying jobs.
There's huge
don't need
need.
A college degree.
Absolutely. Right. There's a huge need for those
And you have
an
area
of
vocational
now.
Technical skills.
Absolutely.
To take care of that. That is the
right.
envy of other districts
right.
send their kids to R.
Yeah, we have all from throughout our entire community, throughout our entire county, actually come to our QAVTC center. And there are so many great starts on a job that students get if they would take advantage of those courses, if they have an interest in those areas. CNA program, EMT program, they can come out of high school, take their test, and go. they're ready to go on that
and we just
on
had
that
a
path.
Job opening this morning at the supportive housing at the Quincy Senior Center.
Yeah.
They need CNA.
Right.
And
yeah.
so
and
know,
when we talk about, I just want to piggyback on that, because when we talk about, you know, educators and recruiting, mm-hmm. you know, quality educators to Quincy. I often say, you know, Quincy is a great place to live. I'm proud of it because I was born and raised here, but we're also an island. So, you know, you have to want to come to Quincy. So
thank you for coming back.
It's alumni come home, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but also, how do we capture those alumni as they're starting out? And we do that through our preschool program. And I just talked this morning about some students who are going to Baldwin. And when they matriculate into college, we're talking to them about, we want you to come back and teach for us.
That's okay. Just don't let my brother come back. Okay. Well, he can come back eventually to take care of me in my old age, but not before then. Thank you very much, Dr. Pettit. Thank you, Shelley Arns, for bringing me food. You both do a great job. I'm biased, but I think you guys are the bomb. So thank you very much for stopping by. Come back more often.
Thank you,
Mary. Thank you, Mary.